Yamuna tire vanachari Yamuna tire vanachari Jaya Radha Madhava Jaya Kunja Bihari Jaya Radha Madhava Jaya Kunja Bihari Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jaya Gauranita, 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 Jaya Gauranita. Jaya Jagannatha, Jagannatha. Baladevai Jaya Subhadra Jaya Radha Vallabha Radha Vallabha Shri Radhe Prabhupada, 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 Jai Prabhupada.
Namo Vishnupad Paramahamsa Prajyacharashtad. श्री श्रीमती डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी श्री प्रभुपाद की अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की ऑल ग्लोरीज टू असेंबल डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरीज टू असेंबल डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरीज टू असेंबल डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरीज टू श्री गुरु एंड गौरांग ग्लोरीज श्री प्रभुपाद की जय Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So we are reading from Canto 7, Chapter 13, The Behavior of a Perfect Person, Verse 43. Vikalpam juhuyas chittau. Vikalpam juhuyas chittau. Tammanasi artha vibhrame. Tammanasi artha vibhrame. Mano vaikarike hutva. Mano vaikarike hutva. Tammayayam juhoti anu. Vikalpam juhuyat chittau. Tam manasi artha vibhrame. Mano vaikarike hutva. Tam mayayam juhoti anu. Vikalpam juhuyat chittau. Tam manasi artha vibhrame. Mano vaikarike hutva. Tam mayayam juhoti anu. Vikalpam Vikalpam juhuyat chittau. Tam manasi artha vibhrame. Mano vaikarike hutva. Tam mayayam juhoti anu. Mataji. Vikalpam juhuyat chittau. Tam manasi artha vibhrame. Mano vaikarike hutva. Tam mayayam juhoti anu. Vikalpam, discrimination between good and bad, one person and another, one nation and another, and all similar discrimination. Juhuyat, one should offer as oblations. Chitta, in the fire of consciousness. Tam, that consciousness. Manasi, in the mind. Artha vibhrame, the root of all acceptance and rejection. Manaha, that mind. Vaikarike, in false ego. Identification of oneself with matter. Hutva, offering as oblations. Tam, this false ego. Mayayam, in the total material energy. Juhoti, offers as oblations, Anu, following this principle. Translation purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. The mental concoction of discrimination between good and bad should be accepted as one unit and then invested in the mind, which should be invested in the false ego. The false ego should be invested in the total material energy. This is the process of fighting false discrimination. Please repeat. The mental concoction of discrimination between good and bad should be accepted as one unit and then invested in the mind, which should then be invested in the false ego. The false ego should be invested in the total material energy. This is the process of fighting false discrimination. Purport. This verse describes how a yogi can become free from material affection. Because of material attraction, a karmi cannot see himself. Jnanis can discriminate between matter and spirit, but the yogis, the best of whom are the bhakti yogis, want to return home back to Godhead. The karmis are completely in illusion. The jnanis are neither in illusion nor in positive knowledge. But the yogis, especially the bhakti yogis, are completely on the spiritual platform. As confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 14.26, Mamcha yova vicharena yoga bhakti yoga sevate sagunan samatityaitan brahma bhuya kalpate. One who engages in full devotional service, who does not fall down under any circumstance, at once transcends the modes of material nature and thus comes to the level of Brahman. Thus, a devotee's position is secure. A devotee is at once elevated to the spiritual platform. Others, such as jnanis and hatha yogis, can only gradually ascend to a spiritual platform by nullifying their material discrimination on the platform of psychologic and nullifying the false ego, by which one thinks, I am this body, the product of matter. One must merge the false ego into the total material energy and merge the total material energy into the supreme energetic. This is the process of becoming free from material attraction. Om Agnanatimirandasya Jnananjana Salakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tashmai Shri Guruve Namah Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Soha Padantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yudha Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sahagrajatam Sahagana Ragunatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakan Vitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Deen Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurange Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Rishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchakalpatarubhesha Kripa Sindhu Vaivacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namah Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare Krishna. So we are discussing here Canto 7. We are at the end of Canto 7. Canto 7 is, there are 10 subject matters of Srimad Bhagavatam. Atra Sarga, Visargascha, Sthanam Poshanam, Uttaya, Manvantara, Esha Anukatha, Nirodha, Mukti, Rashraya. So there are 10 subject matters as described by Sukhdev Goswami. I think it is too high. So there are 10 subject matters described by Sukhdev Goswami. And now 7th Canto is primarily categorized as Uti. Uti means inclination. So there are auspicious inclinations and inauspicious inclination, and we see in 7th canto both of these inclinations are described. Both of these inclinations are, it's too high, I think. Prabhuji, put it down. Both of these inclinations are described. And so auspicious inclinations basically leads Jiva into acting piously and takes him to the higher planetary system. An inauspicious inclination leads him to the lower planetary system, inauspicious. So, and one performs impious activities. So in 7th canto we see, because of the auspicious inclination of Narad Muni, Prahlad Maharaj attained pure bhakti. And because of the inauspicious inclination, what was the inauspicious inclination? Does anyone remember what happened at the beginning of 7th canto? Sorry? Yudhishthira Maharaj asked, but what was inauspicious in 7th canto? Loudly. Shishupal, yeah. So, Jay and Vijay were cursed. So, Jay and Vijay were cursed by the four Kumaras. And that was inauspicious. And which lead even the residents of Vaikuntha to fall down into the material. And they had to take three births as demons. Impious activities. So, the entire 7th canto is basically speaking about, and we see this begin from the end of 6th canto. At the end of 6th canto, Sukhdeva Goswami explains the pastime of how Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu were killed by the Lord in the form of Varaha and Narasimha Dev. And then Parikshit Maharaj asks question, how can the Lord be impious towards the demons and taking the side of Indra? And then at the beginning of 7th canto, Sukhdeva Goswami explains, narrates the pastime which happened similar to in the Ratsuya Yagna, where Yudhishthira Maharaj is asking question to Narada Muni. What made Shishupal to attain liberation, even though he was impious? And then Sukhdeva Goswami is narrating their conversation, and the entire 7th canto is basically conversation of Narada Muni and Yudhishthira Maharaj. Narada Muni is explaining this whole canto to Yudhishthira Maharaj. So then Narada Muni explains about how Jay and Vijay took birth as Hiranyakashipu, and the entire 7th canto we heard about dealings between Hiranyakashipu and Prahlad Maharaj, how Prahlad Maharaj was fortunate to get the association of Narada Muni in the womb and became pure devotee. And then we heard, and at the end now, after this pastime is over, again, Yudhishthira Maharaj is asking questions. Can you please explain about Varnashram Dharma and Sanatana Dharma? So the first 10 chapters are about Prahlad Maharaj's pastime, or Hiranyakashipu and Prahlad Maharaj's pastime with Narasimha Dev. And then the last 5 chapters are speaking about Sanatana Dharma and Varnashram Dharma. So we heard about pure bhakti in the pastime of Prahlad Maharaj. We heard about, in the first 2 chapters we heard about pure bhakti as a Sanatana Dharma. And now in the last 3 chapters we are hearing about mixed bhakti or Mishra bhakti, which is explaining about the Varnashram Dharma. And we are at chapter 13, which is explaining about Sannyasi. The title of this chapter is The Behavior of a Perfect Person, a Sannyasi who is a perfect person. And here Narada Muni again explains the pastime of Avadhut Brahmana, how the Avadhut Brahmana behaves. How Prahlad Maharaj meets this Avadhut Brahmana, and he's explained, and this chapter is basically the explanation of this Avadhut Brahmana, who is explaining what is the perfection of human life, how one should live. And we are at the end of this chapter where it is explained about the Brahmana is explaining how the mental concoction of discrimination between good and bad should be accepted as one unit and then invested into the mind, which should be invested into the false ego and which should be invested in the total material energy. And this is the process of fighting false discrimination. So here we see there are different things mentioned. At first when I read this verse, I couldn't understand anything. How can discrimination of good and bad be invested in the in the mind, and then that can be invested in the false ego, and that can be invested in the material energy. And then Srila Prabhupada explains in the purport about different kind of personalities, karmis, jnanis, yogis, and best of which is the bhakti yogis. And then after hearing some more lectures from the devotees, I could understand what this verse means. So when the universe is created, when the material world is created, it is explained that does anyone remember how was the material world created? What was the initial state of the material world? What is it called? Pradhan. So Pradhan is the unmanifested stage, and at one point in time, which is we don't know when, but at one point in time the Lord impregnates this Pradhan with two things, glances over Pradhan and impregnates it with two things, Jiva and Kala. So these two elements enter into Pradhan, and then the entire material energy or Pradhan becomes effulgent, Hiranyagarbha. It's also mentioned effulgent or Hiranyagarbha, which is shining like a gold. At that point, Pradhan manifests into the next stage, which is called Mahat Tattva. And in this Mahat Tattva, three elements, which is the modes of goodness, passion and ignorance, manifest. So at that stage, from goodness comes mind and demigods. From passion comes the pranas and the 10 senses, intelligence. And then from ignorance comes the 10 gross elements. So this all becomes manifest one by one. And at that point, again, when this transformation is taking place, the Lord enters into each of the universe and forms the Virat Rupa. And from there, demigods take their position. And a lotus is sprouted from the navel of Garbhadaksha Vishnu, on which Lord Brahma appears. And then he does meditation. We know this pastime. He performs meditation, tapa, and then Lord gives him knowledge. And from there, he begins to create. So the first thing, and this is explained in the third canto very nicely in the Samvad between Vidura and Maitreya Muni. And there it is explained, why does Vidura ask for all these things about the material creation, about how these material elements are created, tell about the Jiva? Why doesn't he directly, he's qualified enough to go directly to Krishna's pastime? And it is explained that unless one understands how the material creation is taking place, or how the material elements are functioning, one cannot transcend this material world. And this is the gist of this verse as well, where the Brahmana is saying how one can discriminate between good and bad by understanding the material creation. Unless one understands material creation, it is not possible to overcome this discrimination. So Vidura is asking, and then Brahma is, the first thing that Brahma creates is the five types of ignorances. The first one is Tamha. And it's interesting, if you understand this verse where it is mentioned about mind, intelligence, false ego, how one can transcend each of them, one has to understand this ignorance is how it affects on each of them. So the first thing that was created was Tama. Tama means one forgets his real identity, what he is. One forgets his Swarupa. And that is the reason, this ignorance is the, or avidya is the reason why one comes into the material world. And what is that avidya? That one can enjoy separately from Krishna. One forgets his Swarupa as being Krishnera Nitya Das. When one forgets this, when one wants to enjoy separately from Krishna, when one wants to have Ishvara Bhav, aham bhogi, siddho ham balwan sukhi, one understands this, I am Ishvara, I am Bhogi, I am Balwan enough to enjoy separately from Krishna. That avidya, that tamas brings him into the material world. And I often quote this example. Especially I like this example that when a kid wants to drive a car, when he's under 16 or he's just like a 5 or 6 year old kid, he wants to drive a car, the father does not give his car keys. What does he do? He takes him to Luna Park. And there he can enjoy driving the car as much as he wants. And then after half an hour, 1 hour, and the beauty of this is like when you want to drive a car in one of these amusement park, you only get 1 or 2 minutes to drive. And after that you have to go back into the long queue, which is half an hour long or 1 hour long. And again you get 2 minutes of driving. This is the nature of material world. Your enjoyment is for 2 minutes, but then you have to stand in the queue for 1 hour to have your chance again. So this is a perfect material world example. And then what happens? The child only drives a car for 10 minutes, probably 4 or 5 times, because after 4 or 5 hours of standing in a queue, he becomes frustrated. He says, that's enough, let's go home. And this is exactly our situation in the material world. This tamas that we are the enjoyers brings us into this material world, and we are covered with the second level of ignorance. There are 5 levels which Brahma has created. And after creating these 5 levels of ignorance, Brahma himself was displeased. He was thinking, what have I created? I don't think anyone will be able to transcend this, come out of these ignorances. But this is important to know. And when we know this, we can see ourselves trapped into this different kinds of ignorances. So first one was tama, where we forget our real position, that we are Krishna's servant. Our natural state is of serving Krishna. The second level is moham, where we accept the body that we have got as real. And Avadhut Brahmana mentions in his teachings how he gets different bodies. Sometimes he is wearing clothes of a king, sometimes he is wearing deer skin, sometimes he is wearing nothing, depending on the situation, what is available. So Avadhut Brahmana is saying, in other words, Avadhut Brahmana is saying, different bodies one get, and one experiences those bodies as being the self. So this moham, the second level, puts one, this ignorance puts one into the state where whichever body he is received, he thinks he is that body. That is the second level. The first level was he forgets his real swarupa. The second level is he accepts that body as being the self. Sometimes he thinks he is a human, sometimes he thinks he's a tiger, lion, or a snake, or a crocodile. Sometimes, and again, we think we are Australian, Indian, belong to this footy team, this cricket team. So these are all part of moham. And then one goes on to the next level, mahamoham. So Brahma has created next level. This was not enough. Brahma created third level, which is mahamoham. Anything that is associated with this body, he thinks as himself. So there are 3 angles to look at any particular thing. The first angle is the self angle. When you go through miseries, in the first angle you feel the pain of those miseries. The second angle is when you think something belongs to you, that person goes through miseries, or that thing becomes goes through some misery, then you feel the pain. That is the second angle. And the third angle is you look at yourself as being the body. And then if that body is going through miseries, that person will not be affected by those miseries. So there are 3 angles to look at anything. So the first angle is you are the body, which is tama and moham, where you feel the pain. Second angle is mahamoham, where anything associated with this body, you think it is yours and you feel the pain. And the third angle is the angle of a devotee, where he sees the body as being different from the self. And then one does not go through. And this is explained by Avadhut Brahmana. When one is completely detached from the material elements or even the self, he is not subject to distress. So false proprietorship, which is mahamoham, and one goes through the miseries. And then after that comes tamishram. So the fourth level of ignorance which Brahma created was tamishram. And in tamishram, what happens? One becomes frustrated. After seeing things for a long time, is not able to enjoy those things, then he becomes frustrated because of that tamishram. And then the last level is andhatamishram. Andhatamishram is one feels the pain of hopelessness, one feels dejected, one does not know what to do in that situation. And this is the verse. And in the last couple of verses we heard about pavarga. Pa fa ba bha ma. Pa means parishram, one works hard. Fa means fena, one is exhausted by that work. Bha means vyartha. It's useless. Everything is useless. Whatever he does, he can see at the end of the day, it is useless. It is taken away from him. Bha means bhai, and he's always fearful. And ma means mrityu. Of that bhai, mrityu, at the time of death, he can see that all that he was dependent on has been taken away from him and nothing can help him. What is that verse which... 1-4? Infallible soldiers. Deha patra kalatradishu atma sainasya asatsva api. So one is dependent on deha patra, his body, his children, wife, and all the paraphernalia. But at the time of death, pashan api na pashyati, even though things are coming, he cannot see what is coming. And at the time of death, everything is useless. He becomes bhaya and mrityu comes. He becomes fearful. So this is the state of five ignorances. And after, when Brahma creates these five kinds of ignorances, he himself has said, he thinks, how are these people going to be able to get out of this? It's interesting, we need to understand how these modes, how the false ego, ahankara works by understanding this ignorance. And when one understands this from the subtle to gross, when we come into the material world, this material world is created from subtle to gross. So first it was pradhan, mahatattva, the three modes, and then from those modes, the subtle elements were created, and then finally the gross elements were created. So we have to do the reverse, we have to perform the reverse order. And same with this five kind of ignorances. First we have to get rid of andhatamishram, and then tamishram, and then mahamoham, and moham, and then tama. So eventually we will be able to understand our real swarupa or real position. By overcoming this different ignorances. So there is an example given that at night when we dream of different things, what happens? We identify ourselves with those things and we feel the pain and pleasure of those things. But in the morning when we wake up, we understand that none of these things that we saw in the dream matters. So similarly, this is our positions. When we come out of the ignorance, we come to the platform where we think whatever I did in my life was useless. And this is it has been recorded by many of the after-death experiences. When person comes out of the body and again comes back into the body, he feels disgusted. He does not feel the same. When he's out of the body, he feels this person who is lying, this body which is there, is not him. He can understand that. And then when he comes back into this body, then he feels again trapped into the particular realm. So this body is nothing but a restriction or trap which is imposed by different modes of material nature. And as long as one is within this body, he will be always overcome by this five kind of ignorances. And we see even the great personalities like Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva, they are finding it difficult, especially when Brahma created these five kind of ignorances. He himself was inflicted by those ignorances. And then he creates Rudra, and then he created four Kumaras, 11 Rudras, and then 10 Rishis, and he created his daughter Vak, and he was attracted to his own daughter because of these ignorances. And then the sages had to come and relieve him from this ignorance, and then he had to give up, cast his body, and then get another body. And so this is the kind of ignorances are very difficult to overcome. And as Srila Prabhupada is giving telling us in the purport, like there are different kinds of devotees who try to overcome, the karmis try to overcome these ignorances by working hard. So, but it is the process of pravritti and nivritti. So it's a process of pravritti where one becomes more and more entangled into the attraction for maya. And then the gnanis try to overcome these ignorances by niti, by giving up things. But eventually they come to nothingness anyways. So they are not able to. Lord Brahma gives a nice verse in the 10th canto. Ye anne arvindaksha vimukta maninas tvayasta bhavat avishuddha buddhaya aruya kachrena parampadam tatha patanti ado anadrit yashmad angraya. So Mayavadis think that they are advancing by giving up things, by giving up the process of enjoyment. But their advancement is only on the platform, because they don't have attraction for the Supreme Personality of Godhead. They fall down back into the material realm. So even from the position of jnana, they fall down. So jnanis also, when they try to enjoy the material, when they try to reject the material energy, even that process is not easy. They fall down. And Ashtanga Yogi, especially, it is mentioned here. But the best of the yogis is the bhakti yogi. Because the bhakti yogi does not give up things. They understand everything has to be used in the service of the Lord. Yukta vairagya. Anasaktasya vishan yatharam upayunjata nirbandha krishna sambandhe yukta vairagyam uchyate. They see everything as in relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And then they use yatharam upayunjata nirbandha krishna sambandhe, everything that can be used, anukulyena krishnanu, everything that can be used in the service of the Lord, they accept it as a remnant. They offer it to the Lord and accept it as a remnant. So the Srila Prabhupada explains in one of the purports that a mayavadi gives up the desire to eat palatable food, and then he still has got attraction for eating, but at one point he falls down. Whereas a devotee offers the food, palatable food, to the Lord and takes it as a remnant of the Lord. And that way he enjoys. At the same time, he is not attached. He does not become attached to the food. He does not get any reactions to the food. So one should follow the process given by Prahlad Maharaj, the 9 processes of devotional service, of engagement. Because by following those processes, one becomes purified. Rishikena Rishikesha Sevanam Bhakti Ruchyate. By engaging the senses in the service of the Lord, one gets bhakti, devotional service. And by that he can progress in the spiritual life. So this is the process. It's not the process of giving up sense enjoyment, but it's a process of engaging the senses in the service of the Lord. And we see many of the people or karmis, when they try to enjoy, what do they do? What is the kind of enjoyment one does in the material world? What do karmis do? The top level of enjoyment, or not the top, but most of the people, how do they spend their time in the material world? Watching movies, Netflix, all those. Engaging the senses in, and how do they get pleasure from those things? How do they get pleasure from watching movies and serials? And most of the time they play games, or I know some of the persons, some of my colleagues, they have got insomnia, so they cannot sleep. So till night, 1 or 2 o'clock, they play games, And then early morning, they again wake up at 5 o'clock, 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock, and they start playing games. So they sleep for 2-3 hours, but most of the time, they're engaged in playing games. And what kind of games they play? Shooting each other. So this is the enjoyment, best of the enjoyment. Or the other thing they do is watch movies. So what is shown in these movies and games? What attracts? Of course, I'm pretty sure everyone of us must have seen some kind of movie or games or something, right? So what attracts, what is, and we have to understand this, so that next time when we have got this attraction to do one of those things, we can see how Maya plays. So what is it that attracts us to watch a movie or play a game? Glamour? What's glamour? Yes, Prabhu.
Violence.
Violence, glamour, yeah. What else? What makes us attracted to watch a movie or
suspense?
Yeah. We put ourselves into the shoe of an actor. We feel like we are a hero or a heroine. Yeah. Yeah, that's what when you watch a movie for 2 hours, you forget your real identity. You put yourself in the shoe of a hero, or ladies put themselves in the shoe of a heroine, and they think they are so great. So it just takes you through those emotions. And when the hero is injured or something, you even cry. I have seen many people even cry in the movies because they attach themselves to that particular role of a person. So yeah, they cry, they go through different emotions, comedy, horror. So, what else? Anything else? Comedy? Yeah, we laugh. So these are all the emotions which these people play with. And actually, these are the secondary rasas. When we understand, when we read Srimad, Nectar of Devotion, Rupa Goswami mentions about the 12 rasas. And there are 5 primary rasas and the 7 secondary rasas, rudra or anger, wonder, comedy, chivalry, mercy, horror, shock. These are the secondary rasas in the spiritual world. And this is what we experience in the material world, and we become attracted to it. Whereas in the spiritual world, the primary rasas are madhurya, vatsalya, sakya, dasya and shanta. That is not even touched in the material world. Just by the secondary rasas, we become so much of infatuated to watching movies or playing games. And these are present in the spiritual world in the original form. So imagine when you become, and what does this do? It builds up a relationship. When you perform devotional service, when you experience these rasas, it builds up a relationship with the Supreme Lord. Of course, not by watching movies, but by performing devotional service. You experience these rasas in full when you perform the devotional service. So what are the kind of devotional service that you perform? And what rasas can they build? What do we do, basically? Anyone performing devotional service here?
Chanting.
Chanting. We all chant the holy names of the Lord. And it develops attraction for the Lord. Nama Rupa. Guna, Leela. Nam leads to Rupa, leads to Leela, leads to Guna and Leela. So by chanting the holy names of the Lord, we become attracted to the Lord. We build up a relationship with the Lord. What else? Hearing. Hearing what? Krishna Katha. Hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. When we hear Srimad Bhagavatam, it gives us the attraction for the Lord. Worshipping the deities. When you worship the deities, what happens? You build up a relationship with the Lord. You wouldn't worship a deity in the initial stage. And I was hearing Bhanu Maharaj's class, and he mentions in the beginning there are two levels, two parts in us. One part is attracted to the Lord, and the other part is attracted to the material energy. So the initial stage, our attraction for the Lord may be 1 or 2%. Our faith may be komala faith or very fragile faith, and our attraction to the material energy might be very high, about 99%. But when we perform all these activities, hearing, chanting, worshipping the deities, it builds up our attraction for the Lord. We want to dress the Lord, we want to bathe the Lord, we want to decorate the Lord, we want to offer the Lord. And that builds up our, in the initial say, we may not have that much of faith, we may not have that much of love for the Lord. But just by repeating that process, not because our endeavors have increased, but because the mercy increases from the Lord. So when Putna went to Vrindavan, she went with the intention to kill Krishna. She offered breast milk smeared with poison. And what did Krishna do? Sorry?
Accepted it.
Killed Putna, but took Putna to spiritual world. So it was not by the endeavor of Putna that she went to spiritual world, but it was by the mercy of the Lord. So imagine, when we offer to the Lord, not with our devotion, just by some kind of ritual, because my mother has said something, or my friend has said, or my guru has said, so that's why I'm doing it. But just by that process of offering, yat kurosi, yad nasi, yad jyosi, dadasi, yad tapasasi kontaya, tat kurushvam madarpanam. Krishna says, offer everything to me. And just by that process, even though our faith is not strong, but because the mercy of the Lord flows incessantly, we automatically progress in spiritual world. And so the advancement in bhakti is not because of our... Of course, the endeavor is required. If we don't endeavor, we don't get mercy. But the progress is not because of our endeavor. It is because of the mercy. So of course, both... And as Bhanu Maharaj was mentioning, the more we perform devotional service, our attraction for Krishna increases. And as our attraction of Krishna increases, the attraction for material energy is indirectly proportional. It automatically reduces without our knowing. We all have got this experience. When we first came to Krishna consciousness, when we were introduced to Krishna consciousness, we had so many bad habits. And just by the process of not even hearing, not even chanting, not even reading Srimad Bhagavatam, what changed completely? Just by eating prasadam. Yeah, initially we started with eating some prasadam. Just by eating that prasadam regularly, our habits changed, and we don't even know when they disappeared from our life. So this process is very powerful, where one performs devotional service and the attraction increases for Krishna by His mercy, and automatically the attraction for material energy diminishes. It has to be 100%. Nothing can, in accounts, if you are accounts person, there is nothing like 101%. Everything has to come to 100%. So if we have got 2% attraction for Krishna at one point, and it increases to 10%, the material energy has to reduce from 99% to 90%. It is indirectly proportionate. So eventually we will come to the platform. And what does Srila Prabhupada say? You only have to be 60% perfect. Of course, we cannot be, or we can be perfect, sorry, that is a wrong statement. But some of us cannot become 100% pure, but we just have to be 60%, and let Srila Prabhupada will look after us, or Krishna will look after us. So this is the process of becoming Krishna conscious. Okay, it's 8:30. I'll stop here. Any questions or comments? Yes, Prabhuji.
Thank you so much for a wonderful class, Prabhu. And when I read first time, I struggled to grasp it. Here is saying invested in mind, false ego, and the material energy. Where is the intelligence? Like generally, mind, intelligence, false ego, these are the subtle things. So, but the intelligence has been omitted. So
no, it's not omitted. It is the mind. When it is said, it invest in the mind, it is mind and intelligence, both together.
Okay.
So that process of investing itself is the part of intelligence.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So it's not omitted. It is there.
Right. And also thing is, because good and bad exist, that's why the discrimination is there. But is it saying that since good and bad don't exist, that's why it's wrong to discriminate?
So. Yeah, so at the first we have got mental, it is mentioned mental concoction of discriminating. So with our a normal karmi would discriminate between things, this is good, this is bad, depending on his own consciousness. But we have to come above, and as Avadhut Brahmana is mentioning, whether it is good or bad, both are bad, because it is binding you to the material world. It is not auspicious. Whether you get pious results or you get impious results, they are both going to bind you to the material world, and you will have to come back to the material world for suffering. So you have to come above that, and that's what Avadhut Brahmana is mentioning. This is the process of fighting false discrimination.
So now, instead of discriminating at the material level, now we have to discriminate it from the spiritual level or from the spiritual lens.
He's mentioning not to discriminate at all, just come above. So as we mentioned, the three levels, three angles of looking at a thing. First angle is thinking I am the body and looking at things from bodily platform. Second angle is everything that is associated to me, second person.
Yeah.
And the third person is looking at this body as being
myself.
No, not having anything to do, third person. Looking at this body as a third person. So then you can easily overcome the miseries or the happiness which comes to that body. Matraspasastu kaunte shitoshna sukha dukha agama painos nityas tamta dikshashva bharata. So looking at the body as just being the third angle.
So isn't it like now the perception or the viewpoint is changing, like from now should I be discriminating like this, we have to discriminate in a different manner, or we have to understand it in a different manner. So just that still discrimination is there, just that the
discrimination is always going to be there.
Yeah.
Yes. But yeah, your angle has changed.
Yeah. And we have to come to the right angle. We have to discriminate in the right angle, the right knowledge.
Yeah. Seeing that body is material and which is covered by all these ignorances. And whatever is happening is happening because of the reactions which come to the body anyways. So then you can transcend above the body platform.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Prabhu.
Thank you. Yes, Prabhu. Do you have a question?
Thank you. Hare Krishna, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu.
Yeah, this verse is very interesting, I think, because it's so subtle. It's very difficult for me to understand, especially when it says, when it uses the word invested, so like the mental concoction of discrimination between good and bad should be accepted as one.
And as then, one unit.
Pardon?
As one unit.
As one unit. So you're not differentiating between the two.
That's right.
Right. So then how do you invest that in the mind, and what does it mean to invest that in the mind?
Yeah, so we see this as being a separate unit, and then you invest that in the mind, intelligence, false ego. So you overcome them gradually one by one. You look at them from the mind platform. Right? From the mind platform, and when it is saying about the mind platform, you are purifying your mind, and then you're looking at things, good and bad, both are different. You understand from the mental platform. Whether it's good or bad, it is not going to be beneficial for me.
Ah, okay, yeah.
So when you look at those things from the mind mental platform and understand, these things are going to bind me anyways. So you come above the mind, and then you even higher than that is looking at it from the false ego platform.
Yeah. How does that, what's that? What is that?
That's right. So you, and that is why we said there are five levels of ignorances.
Yeah, yeah.
The first level is moham, where one forgets his real identity. So you have to come to that level where you understand your real identity is to be servant of Krishna.
Yeah.
Jivera Swarupa Hoy Krishnara Nitya Das. Our real identity is to be servant of the Lord or to serve the Lord. And when we are acting on that platform, then you are even above the mental concoction, because the mind will many times say, let me not do this service today, or let me take a break, let me go and watch a movie, or let me go to some place and relax, take a break, take a holiday. So mental platform will always take you away from the spiritual platform or real identity, because that is the nature of ignorance.
Yeah.
That is the nature of Maya.
Mm.
Mm? The Maya is designed for that. Avaranatmika Shakti and Prakshepatmika Shakti. Avaranatmika Shakti is what these five ignorances will describe. It will cover you, and Prakshepatmika Shakti will be pulling you down.
Mm.
That is the nature of Maya.
Mm.
So we have to come above that mental platform and come above the false ego platform that I am this body, and look at the body from the third angle. This body is just a bag of matter which is given to me to transcend this material world.
Okay.
And once you transcend this material world and you come, and what will happen? The false ego should be invested in total material energy. So when you understand this body as being the part of material energy, you can transcend this. Then you can fight the false discrimination. Then you can come to the real platform. So you have to look at things from the third angle, not from the first or second angle.
Mm. So that's real discrimination.
That's real discrimination. Yeah. Where you see yourself separate from the body.
Yeah.
But if you discriminate between good or bad, that's false discrimination.
That's false. Because right. You're still in the first angle. You're saying, this is good for me, this is bad for me.
Right.
Mm? So you're still seeing me as the body.
Oh, yeah.
Whereas third angle is above the false ego.
Right.
That's the third angle, where you're seeing that body is separate from you.
Mm.
Mm? And then that is the real discrimination.
Mm. Okay, thank you, Prabhu.
No problem, thank you. Yes, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna, thanks for a nice class. You mentioned earlier, you explained how the universe was created and how Lord Brahma created the entire universe and all the different elements. And then you mentioned that Narada Muni was receiving knowledge from Brahma, but Narada Muni couldn't approach Krishna straight away because Narada Muni had to learn about the tattva first, right? But I'm just trying to understand that, because sometimes these kind of tattva can be very technical. And is it necessarily a requirement for us to actually really understand this? Because in the example of Putana that he gave, Putana was a demon. She didn't necessarily have that discrimination between spiritual and material, or that she's a soul and then, is the body, but she still got the mercy of Krishna. So can you just elaborate on that, please?
Yeah, so Putana is a rare example. We cannot approach the Lord with one of those. Even Narada Muni mentions, like Kamsa, what is it? The verse? Dvishat Kamsa. So Kamsa approached the Lord with fear. Hmm? Sishupal approached the Lord with dvesha, envy. Hmm? Like that, different ways you can approach the Lord. But Acharya's point out, those are not the favorable ways. We have to approach the Lord anukulyana krishnanu. Shilanam bhakti ruchyate. That is the best of bhakti. To approach the Lord as Lord wants us to. What does the Lord say in Bhagavad Gita? Patram pushpam phalam tovam. Yome bhakta prayashati. Tadam bhakta upharatam. Ashnami prayatana. You just offer me a leaf, fruit, flower or water and I'll accept it. But in the next verse he mentions, yat karoshi yadnasi yajyosi, give me everything. First he's saying, just give me fruit, flower, leaf and water. And then second verse he's saying, give me everything. So this is the process. We start with offering little, but we come to the platform of offering everything to the Lord. And that is more favorable. And that's what Krishna wants us to do. So this is the real process. We cannot... These examples of Putana, Shishupal, Kamsa, these are examples so that we can understand Krishna is not biased by our position. Even though we don't have 100%, we may get discouraged by thinking, I'm nowhere near devotion, I don't have any devotion in my consciousness, I don't have any attraction for the Lord. It's not possible for me to go back home, back to God. But as these examples, when we hear them, we develop that faith, thinking, there is a chance for me. If Putana has got a chance, Kamsa has got a chance, Shishupal, let me offer a little bit. And it's up to the Lord. As Kulashekara mentions, that I have done whatever I could, now it's up to you, please look after me. And so at the end we have to depend on the Lord. And that is the process. The saranagati means, complete surrender means humility. With humility, I cannot do anything more, this is the limitation, but now it's up to you, my Lord. So that's saranagati, basically, self-surrender. One has to come to that platform. Okay, we'll end here. Granth Raj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Thank you for coming.